Jeremy, you shouldn't feel too bad about that, because we were singing that song for several years in this church before Brother Steve got up one, I think it was a Wednesday night, and let us all know what that word meant. Yeah, you did. I remember that. Trust me. He got up and let us know what panoply meant. I thought that was pretty good, because I didn't know what it meant. And I too, had never taken the time to actually look it up in the dictionary. But, all right. Well, amen, folks. Should be relatively short here tonight. You know, we always say that, and it never works out that way. But we just like saying it, because it gives you hope at the beginning, and then we can crush you. No, I'm just kidding. If you, if you came to church tonight hoping to, just like you normally do, well, congratulations, welcome, glad you're here. But if you came tonight expecting to hear Brother Stevens, sorry, you get me instead. But hopefully the message will be a help to you anyway. the good news is the message actually kind of similar along the lines, or somewhat, I guess, inspired by what Brother Stevens did this morning. And I couldn't get away from these verses as I was working on it this afternoon. So if you would open your Bibles to 1 Samuel, and we're going to turn to chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, most of you know the background here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. You know that the children of Israel have obviously come out of the land of Egypt with Moses. They wandered around for 40 years. They went into the promised land. And then they got into the promised land, and they really didn't have a king. The Lord left them there as kind of a unique nation. And the Lord would raise up judges during that time frame. And for about 400 years or so, the Lord gave the nation of Israel judges to kind of rule over them and guide them. And this is actually after the book of Judges. We're getting into almost into the place where we hit the first king. It'll come in a few chapters here. But Eli is the priest, and he's kind of the head guy right now in the nation of Israel. And that's pretty much where we pick up in chapter 3. Now, just prior to this, in chapters 1 and 2, there was a young lady named Hannah who had been barren, didn't have any children, and she had it had been a big burden to her, and she had been married to her husband for quite a while, and she had gone to the Lord and prayed to the Lord and begged the Lord to give her a child. And the Lord gave her a child, and in return for that, she actually gave that child, young Samuel was his name, over to the Lord to serve the Lord. And you think about that, you're the biggest burden on your heart, ladies, is to have a child, and then when you finally get one, you give them up, basically, and give them away. That's quite a step of faith that she took. You know, the Lord blessed her for it and gave her more children, but still, you have to admit that initial, I imagine that initial departing there at the temple when she turned him over to Samuel was quite the traumatic event. But if that's kind of where we're at, and let's pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll go ahead and, you know what, we're going to read the chapter just because, well, we're going to run out of time. But all right, 1 Samuel chapter 3, that's what I planned on doing, so that's what we're going to do, and we'll see where we get. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And Eli, said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made them made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew in the Lord and was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Now, Father, we once again just ask you to clear our minds and our hearts of all the cares and the concerns that the world throws upon us. Father, I pray that we'd be able to focus a little bit of attention to the Word of God here tonight. And, Lord, that you would once again give us something from your book that would be an encouragement, a rebuke, a correction, whatever it is, Father, that we need. But something, Father, that your people need here tonight, I pray that you would provide for them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so... we read through and we kind of see what's going on with young Samuel here. And I know that, you know, most of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture and the Bible. And I was thinking about this afternoon. You know what? It's a good thing to stand up to preach. And no matter where I go in the Bible and pull a text out of or a sermon out of or what passages I turn to, it seems like every time I get up here, I have to say this. You folks are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And you know what? That's a blessing. Folks, that's a compliment. It has absolutely nothing at all to do with the sermon, but I was just thinking about that today, and I was just thinking, that's pretty good. Because there's a lot of places you can go where that's not the case. And you're to be commended for that. So that was for free. Or we'll pass offering plates or something. You can pay for it if you want. But the main text tonight is in verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And I just simply titled the message tonight here, "Let him do what seemeth him good." And you know, that's really quite a statement from Eli. Let him do what seemeth him good. Now, Brother Stevens this morning preached upon basically God not being a fix-it-up guy, right? Not being a fix-it-up guy that when you get in trouble, you call God and you expect him to fix your problems. And really, that's all God is to you. You know that sometimes you only call on God when you're in the midst of trouble. I mean, that's not a good thing. And he mentioned this morning that it's not even guaranteed that God will fix all the troubles that you currently have. There may be some of those troubles that you're left to struggle with, in all honesty, for the rest of your life. And brethren, that's a good thing to realize and understand. There are some things in this life that are just out of our control. We have no power and no control over them. And if the Lord chooses to lay them at our feet and chooses to let us walk through the midst of them, guess what? We're going to walk through the midst of them. And that just is the way that it is. God has a plan a lot of times that is much bigger than our personal comfort. And how God chooses to operate and how God chooses to manipulate in men's affairs and what God has in plan for you and I is a lot more important, quite frankly, than your or my personal comfort. And we got to remember that. Listen, it's up to God to control the universe. That's his job. Now, if it was up to me to control the universe, I would do it quite a bit different. And I'm sure I would make a huge mess of things. But it's up to God to control the universe. And that's a good thing. I wouldn't want that responsibility. And you know what that means, brother? That means the biggest influence that we can have on somebody else's life is really to be in prayer for them. Is really to be in prayer for them so that we go to the God of heaven, the God of the universe, who's in control, and we petition Him to act in behalf of somebody else that we care about and that we love. And all too often we forget that. And I know that I fail at that, you know, more often than I care to admit. But brethren, we, you know, one of the biggest influences we have with God is just prayer. Don't let that slip. And that's not really the main theme of the message here tonight either. But it is something that we got to think about. And what I wanted to cover here tonight, and it should go relatively quickly, is just simply this. I've got four short steps here tonight that you should keep in mind when you're looking for answers in your life, or for that matter in the life of somebody else that you care about. Just four simple steps that you need to consider when you're looking for answers to troubles or trials or just directions or questions that you have in life that either for yourself or for somebody else. 1 Samuel 3:18 says this. It says, "It is the Lord, let Him do what seemeth Him good." And brethren, that's the foundation. That's the foundation of everything that we do. Now, the first two steps out of the four that I have are pretty simple to do. And I imagine if you're a Bible believer, if you're a Christian here tonight, you should find these first two steps relatively, hopefully by now, a relatively natural course of action. Although pride can certainly get in the way and can certainly stop even the first two steps from being realized. The second two steps are a little more difficult, but they're certainly necessary. And the first step that I'd like to talk about tonight, is down in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Take a look down in verses 2 through 5. And it came to pass that at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. The first step, brethren, when you're seeking answers from God, when you're trying to either, you know, get over a trouble or get through a trouble or find direction in your life, I tell you what, the first step that you're going to have to take in that whole process, at least in the four that I narrowed it down here this evening, is just simply realizing that God is trying to do something. Now, for a lot of you sitting here this evening in the congregation, that seems very natural, and it seems like a very normal part of life. But I tell you what, there's an awful lot of times where you get in the midst of some different troubles, and you get in the midst of some different trials, and you get in the middle of some things that, you know, kind of seem a little bit over your head, and you get so consumed with what's going on in life that you forget, or you don't think about the fact that it's God trying to work in some way in your life. And that's a lot of what Brother Stevens was trying to talk about this morning is, you know, you go to God under those conditions and you want God to fix the problem. You don't stop and consider that God is trying to actually do something. You just want the problem gone. And brethren, that's the first mistake. Listen, the first step that you've got to take to find answers in your life is you've got to realize God is trying to do something. Now, here in our text, we've got Eli and Samuel. You know, Eli goes to bed and Samuel goes to bed. And, you know, they lie down and, you know, they both know that God is in control of everything. They're well aware of that. I mean, Eli's the priest. He's talked with God countless times throughout the year. Samuel certainly is very well aware that God is alive and he knows what he's doing there at the tabernacle, and you know, Samuel kind of knows at least the fundamentals of what's going on. Granted, he's a little younger and he doesn't, you know, have a full revelation. God hasn't really revealed himself to Samuel yet like he has Eli. But nonetheless, in type, we're going to say they're Christians going through life. And you know what? They should be aware that God's trying to work in their life. But we get too busy with life. We get busy with the details, the mundane things, the day in, the day out, the, you know, get up, offer sacrifice, light the candles, take care of the bread, you know, change the water, all the things that have to be done there in the temple. And they head down and they go to sleep, and it's just another night of going to bed. The Lord shows up and tries to get Samuel's attention, and Samuel mistakes it for Eli. I'm quite certain that's not the first time that, you know, Samuel in the middle of the night had heard Eli call him. I mean, you know how that goes. I don't know how it goes around your house, but how it goes around our house is it's getting kind of late, and, you know, we typically say something to the effect of, "Hey, Aubrey, go make us some nachos." You know, or, "Hey, Robert, go make some popcorn." But, you know, your kids are well aware that you're going to call on them occasionally to do things. And, so I'm sure it's not the first time. Yeah. Nachos or popcorn, brother? So I'm sure it's not the first time that Samuel thought, in this case, that he heard Eli call him. And for him, it was just a natural thing. Okay, it's another thing that I've got to do. Get up, answer. You know, I know it's not technically his father, but in essence, it was the man that was raising him. So in that regard, you know, I got to get up and answer Dad and find out what he wants this time. He gets up and he answers, goes into Eli, "You called. What's going on?" Eli says, I didn't call you. I didn't call you. And, you know, maybe you're an inexperienced Christian, kind of like Samuel was, and you don't really see the Lord moving in all these different ways that a more experienced Christian might have the opportunity to see. It's amazing, brethren, to see some of the things that the Lord does within a congregation. I mean, it is uncanny. You would never believe it. There's no way Brother Stevens could sit down and explain to somebody who's lost how the Lord has worked in people's lives. Just the intricacy of everything, the timing, just everything, how it falls into place, from preachers coming in and preaching messages that people need right at that moment, to people showing up at church on a message that they need, to interactions amongst the congregation and how the Lord is helping one person and how that blesses another person. It is phenomenal to watch the Lord work. And if you're a younger Christian, you know, maybe you're not very experienced in that and you haven't seen a lot of that, but I tell you what, whatever the case, as you gain more experience, you're going to see it more. And the first thing you need to realize, the first step that you need to take when you're looking for answers in your life, when you're looking for answers to the problems that you're going through, is you have to realize that God is trying to do something. Amen? God is trying to do something. In Romans 8, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Listen, I'm telling you what, it is a good thing that the Lord takes care of me even when I'm unaware that I need to be taken care of. No, God is not a fix-it-all guy. Dial him up, you know, 1-800, you know, call for help type of thing, and God shows up and fixes your problems. That's not the way it works. You want to find answers to your problems, you got to first realize God may be trying to get your attention. You have to realize what it is that God is doing. Realize God is trying to do something. That's the first step. Philippians 4:5 just simply says this. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You see, Samuel got up in the middle of the night, and he says, goes into Eli and says, "Thou callest me." And Eli looks at him and says, "What are you talking about? I didn't call you. Go lay back down. Go to sleep." At this particular time, nobody realizes what's going on, because to Samuel, this was just an everyday occurrence. Like I said, I know it wasn't his father, but in type, "Hey, Dad's calling me again. Let me go answer and find out what's going on." And he missed the fact that it was God trying to call him. And the trouble, brethren, is You see the trouble you're in, but you don't see God trying to work. And you get so focused on the trouble, you miss the lesson. You miss the lesson. Step number one, simply realize God's trying to get your attention. Simply realize God's trying to get your attention. All right, step number two. Now, that should be easy for a Christian. Like I said, I know sometimes if you're inexperienced, it's kind of hard to see, but it should be relatively easy. But step number two is just simply this, is give or seek the proper guidance and counsel. Give or seek the proper guidance and counsel. Now, you know, in general, we're not too bad at this step. A lot of times we'll go to other folks and ask what's going on, or somebody will come to us and ask us, you know, what's going on, and you go to the Bible and you go to give them counsel, and that's a good thing, and that's what should be done because they need to hear it. Now, pride will certainly hinder this. A lot of times you're going through something and you're too proud or you're too ashamed to go to somebody and ask for help. But here in this, take a look down in verse 6. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now, about this time, about the second time that this happened, Samuel very well could have said to himself, "Wait a minute. I tried this once already. I'm not going to go in there and make a fool of myself a second time." You understand? He could have done that. Samuel could have been presented with the situation where he hears this voice, you know, "Samuel, Samuel," and it's the Lord, but he doesn't know that. But he very well could have been presented with this for our illustration, trouble, and decided, "I'm not going to go ask for help a second time. I tried it once and it didn't work. I tried to get help the first time and it didn't work. I'm not going to go a second time." Samuel could have taken that route. But brethren, he didn't. As far as Samuel was concerned, "Dad called, I'm going to go answer." And he walks back in that room a second time to Eli and he says, "Thou callest me, what can I do for you?" And Eli looks at him a second time, the same night, and says, "Go back to bed. What are you waking me up for? Quit bothering me." I mean, you know how dads get once in a while. They get kind of grumpy when you wake them up from their naps or whatever. But, you know, go play outside. You know, basically, "Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." Then down in verse 8, "And the Lord calls Samuel again a third time." Now, brethren, remember point number one? You got to realize the Lord's trying to do something in your life. That's the first step. The second step, brethren, is you got to seek or give, whichever side of the equation you're on, whether you're a Samuel or an Eli, you got to seek or you got to give good and the right counsel. But put yourself in this situation, either in Eli's or in Samuel's, in Eli or Samuel's place. Listen, Samuel gets called for the third time in the same night, and he's got to get up and he's got to go in and he's faced with a choice. Do I go in and make a fool of myself three times in a row, or did Dad really call me? And you know he had to run through his mind. Oh no, I mean, I wonder if he got up to the door and just was kind of timid as he knocked on the door the third time that night. It's like, do I knock or not? Do I knock or not? And brethren, it's the same way sometimes when you go through struggles and trials. Listen, you got to realize the Lord's trying to do something with you. I mean, the trouble is you know, a symptom of what the Lord's trying to do. Regardless of what it is, the Lord expects you to learn something from what's going on. We had that little confusion here this morning, and you know, Brother Dave and I have been really, really good. It's been a real blessing about double-checking with each other and everything over the last, what has it been, almost 2.5 months on services and making sure that we didn't have any confusion and who was where and all that kind of stuff. And it was my fault. I got 2 weekends confused and this morning, and so we were sitting around talking afterwards, and everybody was, you know, Jenny was over there and Kim was sitting down there, and they were talking about just the confusion, kind of making a joke of it. And they were talking about, you know, Brother Stevens and being prepared, which I'm thankful he was. That was, you know, that was a blessing. It was a blessing to have him here, folks. But I looked at the whole situation. I said, wait a minute, what should I learn from that? Oh, yeah, I better double check and triple check my schedule a little more carefully this time. Because it almost got to be, you know, a routine, a habit, and I wasn't as cautious as I should have been. You're going through those troubles, brethren. You need to step back and, you know, you need to seek that proper guidance. And Samuel had to go in there that third time in a row, and he had to make a decision whether he was going to go ask a third time whether Eli wanted him or not. That had to have been a tough thing to face. That had to have been a tough thing to face. You know, he walks in there for the third time, and he's standing at the doorway, and he has to decide, I've been through this trouble, in this case, twice before, in some of our cases, a dozen, 20, 30, 40 times before, and I've gone to ask for help, and it didn't do any good. Am I going to ask and seek counsel one more time? But brethren, he did what he was supposed to do. He got called. And you know what he did? He answered. And I'll grant you, it took him three times of answering to figure out what was going on. Sometimes the Lord expects a little bit of diligence in the troubles you're going through before you get everything kind of situated and set up in a place where you understand what's going on and you know what to do the next time. But he did answer the third time. All right, so you got to realize, number one, you got to realize that God's trying to do something. And you got to realize, or I mean, you've got to seek or give counsel. Take a look down in verse 8. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. All right, now we're getting somewhere. Like I said, the first two steps for a Christian should be relatively simple. Right? Realize God is trying to do something. The trouble is not just there for no reason at all. The situation you're in is not just a random occurrence from nature. God's trying to do something. You got to realize that. Second step is you got to go like Samuel did, sometimes repeatedly, and try to find out some good counsel. What do I do? How do I handle this? Where do I go? What's going on? So Eli finally realizes, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. So now we're getting somewhere. All right? So let's look down at verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. All right? So we got step one, realize that God's trying to do something. Step two, seek or get or give, depending on which side you're on, good counsel. And then step three, this is kind of a little more difficult for us as Christians because we like to be in control. We like to be, you know, jump right in there and solve the problems and all that kind of thing. But you know what? You know what Eli had to do? Eli went back to bed. You know what step three is? A lot of times, you've given the counsel. Now you may put yourself in Eli's position. You've given the counsel. You've told Samuel what's going to go on. Now what you have to do sometimes, get out of the way. The third step, sometimes you just have to get out of the way. And that's a very hard thing to do, especially when it's somebody that you care an awful lot about that's coming to you for counsel. But you've got to get out of the way. You've got to get out of the way because, listen, it's not you that's going to fix the problem. It's not you that's going to fix the problem. I mean, Eli could have realized what was going on there in verse 8. Oh, what was I thinking of these last two times? Finally, it dawns on Eli in time number 3. This is the Lord. He could have taken Samuel, gotten out of bed, went out to the kitchen table, sat down, maybe brought his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in, just so that they could hopefully learn some things along the way, and had a night-long counseling session and talked with Samuel all the rest of the night, trying to explain to Samuel all the details of how the Lord works and all that kind of stuff. Eli could very well have done that. And I know there's a time and a place for that, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But sometimes, brethren, when you realize what the problem is, you get to the point, you realize God's doing something, you give a person the right counsel, and you tell them what direction they ought to go, you take them to the Bible, you show them the right way, sometimes, in fact, nearly always, there's going to come a point where you've got to step back out of the way and get out of the way and wait for the Lord to take the next step. Because you see, if Eli would have taken Samuel out to the kitchen table and sat down with him and had an all-night session and explained everything about the Lord and how the Lord works, the Lord wouldn't have been able to get to Samuel until the next night. You understand that, right? Because Samuel would have kept him too occupied. And what that means for you and I is if we're in the midst of a tribulation or a trial or something of that nature, and somebody is doing that with us, it's going to take longer until the Lord can get a hold of us. And that's not a good thing. First step is you got to realize God's trying to do something. And that's in your life or somebody else's. You've got to either seek or give good counsel, biblical counsel. And then, brethren, the next step is at some point along the way, you've got to step back and get out of the way and let the Lord do something. And that's the point where a lot of us have a real difficult time. Because it's hard to step out of the way and let the Lord take control. Because you want to be in there, you want to be involved, you want to be the one that helps get the problem solved. Not for your glory, but because you have a great concern and care to get the problem solved. But you know what Samuel needed at that point in time? Samuel needed to be left alone a little bit with the Lord. That's what Samuel needed. And it was important that Samuel had that. You got in Exodus 14, Moses is talking to the people, and Moses said this unto the people. He said, "Fear not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, brethren, you want to get through, like I said, you got the idea that God's just to fix it up, dial 1-800-FIX-MY-PROBLEM type of God. No. You got to realize that God's trying to do something in your life before anything will change. Before anything will change. You can try everything you want, but until you realize God's trying to do something in your life, nothing will change. The circumstances might change, but the problem won't. You got to seek or give good counsel, and then you know what? Somebody's got to get out of the way and basically let the Lord take over. Or you've got to get out of the way and let the Lord take over and say, okay, you know what's going on. Now you fix the problem. I see a lot of parents of kids try to do this with their kids. You know, they try to get on them and on them and on them and on them. They're constantly on them and on them and on them and never step back and give the Lord a chance to teach the kid anything at all. And what they're telling the kid isn't necessarily wrong, but there's some times where you just got to take a step back and say, okay, Lord, you've got to teach them something that you can do a better job of it than I can. You've already taught me the lesson. I know what lesson to tell them. I've told them. It hasn't quite clicked just yet in their brain. You're going to have to show them. You got to step back and let the Lord do that. And kids, that's where you guys need to pay attention to point number 1. Realize the Lord's trying to do something to you. Because if you don't realize that, you got a long way to go. All right, and the fourth and final step, Let's go back to our text. So we have down there in verse 9, he said, therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went down and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. He got it. He got it. He finally got it. He didn't know what was going on to begin with. Understandable. Right? He sought counsel. Eli finally figured out what was going on. Told him what was going on. Samuel listened to what was going on. Eli stepped back out of the way and said, okay, go lay back down and listen for the Lord. Then he goes back and he listens for the Lord. Now he's got it. Now he's got it. And it's good to see that happen. And now the Lord tells him all the things he was going to tell him. And then the fourth and final step, let's continue on down in our passage one more time. Verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli, all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And here's point number four. And he said, that's Eli, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. The fourth step of handling the trial or the trouble or the tribulation that you're going through is simply this. You've got to accept what God says, even when it's directed towards you. You've got to accept what God says, even when the thing gets turned around and it's directed back towards you. I can't tell you how many times, me personally from experience have just been involved in helping another Christian brother or, you know, a kid, a teen or something like that with some of the problems or issues that they're going through, only to have the Lord turn around the counsel that I give the teen and come back and smite my own heart, and I've got to deal with that very issue in myself. The Lord will do that. Brethren, the Lord will do that. And I've had to realize, yes, the Lord was trying to do something, and I had to listen to the counsel even though it came out of my own mouth. The Lord's really good about that. And, I had to take a step back and let the Lord do something. And then you know what you have to do is you've got to accept what the Lord says. Eli goes to Samuel, and Eli has no clue what the Lord is going to tell Samuel. I would venture to say that Eli is sitting there thinking, well, praise the Lord, the Lord's going to raise up somebody else because my two sons are certainly not going to make good priests once I'm gone. And I imagine for a moment there, Eli was pretty elated, thinking that, all right, the Lord has his hand on Samuel. He's going to raise somebody up. He's been faithful. I wonder what's going to happen to the nation of Israel now. I bet the Lord has told Samuel what's going to happen to the nation of Israel and how the Lord's going to miraculously help the nation of Israel. Samuel, tell me what the Lord told you. And then Eli kind of gets it between the eyes and realizes, whoa, I am the problem. Kind of reminiscent of King David before Nathan. When Nathan goes in and gives a story about, this poor guy, he's got one sheep, and the next door neighbor's got hundreds and hundreds of sheep, and the next door neighbor had a friend come over to his house, and the next door neighbor goes and steals the one guy's sheep, his lone sheep, and kills him and feeds him to the guest that comes to his house. And David's anger in 2 Samuel was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And on and on and on. And David standing up there and Nathan standing up there in front of David, and David is expecting to pass judgment on this fictitious guy that Nathan's telling him about, only to have Nathan turn around and have him point his finger back in his face and say, David, you're the one that's got this problem. You know what? David had to face that thing. He had to face step number four. And that is just simply accepting what God says, even when it's directed toward you. And brethren, sometimes we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with that. But David humbled himself. I imagine he kind of looked down at the ground, and he knew. David knew. And you know what? You and I know. Yeah, it's me. It's me. And you got to be able to face that and deal with it. And Eli, look at verse 18. Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, that is, Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Let him do what seemeth him good. Brethren, again, building off what Brother Stevens established here this morning, God's not a fix it up, call whenever you got a trouble type of God. But when you do get in the troubles and you're looking for answers, not just for troubles, but for, you know, direction in your life, you got to realize first and foremost, God is trying to do something with you. You know, it's not happening at random. God's trying to do something with you. You got to realize that. You got to give or get good counsel, biblical counsel. What should I do? How should I handle it? Where do I go? What does the Lord expect of me under this particular situation? Right? You got to listen to that counsel. Sometimes somebody, maybe you, maybe somebody else, needs to step back and get out of the way and let the Lord deal with the person that's having that issue so that the Lord can get a hold of them. Eli goes back to bed. He got out of the way. Hey, Samuel, you go off, go back to bed. And when the Lord comes to you, here's what you say. And then Eli stepped back and said, okay. And sometimes, brethren, we got to get out of the way and let the Lord deal with the problem. And then finally, the fourth step, simple four-step process, right? The fourth step is just simply accepting what God says, even if it's against you. It's easy to accept an answer from God when you're pointing out somebody else's faults. Or it's easy sometimes to, you know, it's always easier to see the corrections in somebody else's life. A little more difficult when you got to see them in your own. But Eli stepped back and he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And brethren, if we can adopt that, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Then basically what you're doing is you're bowing your head and your knee to the Lord's will. And you're saying, Lord, I'll do what you determine is best. And that's how you get out of it. Four simple steps. I know God's not a, you know, 1-800 fix my problem type of God, but those four steps will fix anything that the Lord intends to be fixed. Amen? Those four steps. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Now, Father, we thank you again. and just appreciate that you have given us instructions out of the Bible. Lord, you've shown us how to direct our lives. You've shown us that, Father, you do care about us. You are interested in seeing that we learn the lessons that we're supposed to learn. Father, the truth of the matter is, you have no desire to keep us in the valley any longer than is absolutely necessary. Lord, you probably desire for us to get out of the valleys that we face even more than we do ourselves. But Lord, you know that there's lessons that we need to learn first. And there's character flaws that we need to fix first. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to see these four simple steps here tonight that we're given, and how Eli and Samuel learned through their experience these things. And Father, help them to apply, or help us to apply them to our lives. For Father, there's none of us that need to be in the valley any longer than necessary. Help us to be willing to accept that even when the answer is directed right at us, Father, help us to have a humble heart, bow our head, and as Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand, folks. We'll sing, turn to number 337. And I just invite you to come down here this evening. If you've been struggling with something, maybe you haven't realized that God was trying to work in your life. Maybe you have. But if you know the Lord's been dealing with something and would like to touch something in your life, maybe tonight would be the night to take one of those four steps, whichever one you may be missing. Number 337. Folks, you can be dismissed. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Amen.